Today, for our Friday Forum webinar, we welcome UVA alum Barbara Kessler. Barbara is a two-time UVA grad, earning both her bachelor's and master's degrees from UVA's Curry School of Education. Her professional career includes extensive experience in career counseling, program development and training, human resources management, and workforce development initiatives. She has both private and public sector experience helping people with career decisions and is currently the Director of Human Resources at the School of Continuing and Professional Studies at UVA. Here is Barbara Kessler with How to Successfully Manage Career Changes and Transitions.
Thanks, Marianne. First of all, if people could raise their hands if they can hear me, for those that are on the webinar not listening in. Okay, great. Thanks. That works. So pretty much what we're going to do today is I'm going to share with you my experiences that I've had over the course of my work experience in order to kind of share my perspective about how to approach managing career changes and transitions. My thinking is this will probably take about 30 or 45 minutes, and I will definitely stay on for a question and answer. So hopefully this fits into your schedule, whether you're chewing on lunch or driving, hopefully not driving, but passenger, or multitasking while you're listening. So as we get started, I will tell you a little bit about myself as to why me and why this particular topic, as well as give you perspective of how to go about approaching this whole process, and then give you some action items to possibly take away with if you're ready to work on this or if you're in the middle of working on transitioning from a career or making a change. So two things is one, I will try to look directly at my camera. I forget where that little green light is. And secondly, since in order to minimize background noise, I turned off my air conditioning. And so if you see me start to sweat or I took off my sweater, you know, because it's getting hot in here. But hopefully with this webinar not being, you know, longer than an hour, that won't be the case. So pardon me if that does happen. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, why this topic? Emily Bardeen and I, who is the Director of Alumni Career Services, have known each other for a long time. And one of the things that's become very aware to us is that whether individuals who reach out to her or individuals who've reached out to me over the course of time, you know, people need to get started somehow. They know they either have a gut feeling or something's happened at work or something's happened with family or, you know, whether it be their kids or a divorce or getting back in the workforce, whatever. And it became very apparent that a lot of people just need to kind of get that jump start or remind themselves of the things that they need to think about as they're working towards or responding to or prepping for this particular career change or transition. And so then why me? It's just to add a little bit more about than what Marianne said is, for about after I got my counseling degree from Curry, I worked on grant-funded job training programs for a little more than a decade. And so part of that whole role was working with adults who were trying to figure out how to change careers or get back in the workforce, et cetera. So a lot of what I'm going to share with you is kind of what the framework I eventually established as I was continuing to have all these discussions with all these people that I worked with. Ultimately, I started working with individuals within the private sector from an HR hat, and as most of you probably remember, after 9/11 happened, a lot of people and a lot of us were probably thinking about and doing kind of a gut check and a priority check and a reality check because we just didn't know. There was a lot of uncertainty at that time. Some of you may have lost loved ones or colleagues. I know we did with where I worked. And people started to make decisions and changes shortly, about, I would say, 6 months after 9/11. And so part of my aha was, and actually the HR field started talking about this, is that, you know, when an event like that, especially a crisis situation occurs, how much time it does take somebody to think about acting on that. So what does that mean? How does this impact me, et cetera? So the other thing, too, is since I left that particular job and then started working here at UVA School of Continuing Professional Studies, I worked on a lot of non-credit and credit certificate programs in nonprofit management, workforce development, entrepreneurship, HR. And part of the role I played or started to play or continue to play was providing people who were interested in some of those programs and were thinking that would this program be appropriate for me, talking with them about, you know, why that is. So I would say if I looked at everything I've done in my paid work experience up to this point, a couple of key themes for me were helping people and then also with respect to being an ear, listening to individuals that they were trying to figure out, you know, what should they do next with respect to their career. So that's why me and why this topic. And just to remind everybody that, especially for those of you that this is your first forum that you've been on, is the purpose of the Alumni Career Services Friday Forum series is to provide alumni with learning and career development information to enhance professional and personal success. So what my hope for you today is that I can at least provide you with some of a framework, somewhat of a framework, or at least a nugget or two of something that you will walk away with and start to incorporate as you work on any career transition or change, whether it be going on right now or in the near future. All right, so to get this going, how many times have you said things happen for a reason? And you know, no need to raise your hand, but just think about that. I think we've used this particular phrase a lot of times when something has occurred and then when we come to accept it. And so in order to get to this point of acceptance, think about, well, what actually happened? You may not initially thought this when the event or the transition or the change that you were presented with occurred or was occurring. But at some point, you stepped away and said, over a period of time, you got to this point of saying things happen for the reason. And my sense is we say that more because we realize, you know what, this was a good thing. So I take that particular statement, and from, you know, all the people that I've worked with in terms of when they're approaching, you know, what do I do next or how do I deal with this particular situation or issue or change that I'm about to make, this is my very elementary design, but I really walked away from all those conversations thinking, well, updating your resume is not the first step that you take. All right? And I think we need to keep that in mind, especially for those of you that this may be the first time you're thinking about a change after your first career or first job. For others that are getting back in the workforce, it's not, you know, initially it's not about updating your resume. So, well, then what do you do? And so if you look at this, I try to make it like a funnel or a pyramid, but it's 3D, if you can think about that. And you start with assessing, you know, what's going on with you. And I'm going to highlight this self-assessment piece in the next slide. And then as you start to look at all that information, you start narrowing that down and say, okay, well, what do I want to research and learn more about? And so from that perspective, you say, okay, pretty much, so what does this mean? What kind of direction or what kind of work or what kind of industry do I want to move into? And then you start focusing on working on your resume. Because you need those first two elements to figure out what it is that you're going to put on your resume and how you're going to present yourself. And then you start working on the job search. So now, this is not necessarily in a 1-2-3-4 order. This is ongoing. We're always doing this. Even while I was putting this brief forum or session together for you today, I started going through at least the self-assessment part. Because it forces me to step back and say, you know, is what I'm doing really what I want to be doing? And so for my colleagues that are on here that I work with, that's just, I'm always thinking about that. do I necessarily act on it all the time with whatever thoughts I come up with? Not necessarily, but I'll share more examples as we go through this. So, like I said, we're going to focus on the self-assessment part. And so I look at self-assessment kind of in five considerations, dreams and goals, values, interests, limitations, / responsibilities, and skills. And I'm going to kind of give you some questions to think about for each one of these in order for you to apply to yourself. And some of you may say, okay, I've already done that check. Oh, no, I hadn't thought about that. I need to give myself some time to do this. So with respect to dreams and goals, I mean, the reason why I added the word goals to this, usually I just have the word dream. But some of us, and this became very apparent to me in a couple of conversations that I had many, many years ago, when somebody said, well, I never thought I was allowed to dream. To me, that is a sad statement, but at the same time, if you're managing things and that you have a lot of stresses going on in your life and you're really trying to figure out and you know that you need to do something different, a lot of times the whole dreaming part, we don't allow ourselves to do that. And so some questions you could possibly ask yourself to even get at that would be consist of, you know, when you daydream, if you daydream, what does that look like for you? Maybe it's staring at your desktop. Like I have a moose on my desktop in the mountains of Montana. So, you know, that's very peaceful to me. I wish I was in Montana, but I'm not. But sometimes that's where I go if I'm thinking about what would I do next. Some of you may have an idea or a picture of what your dream job could be or would be. And so revisit what is that? You know, what does that look like? What are the elements of it? Or even more elementary is what's your ideal typical day? So when you wake up in the morning, how would you like to spend your day? And that may seem so elementary, but sometimes we have to start with that basic kind of, you know, if I could do anything today, what would it look like? And then overall, I mean, think about what you'd like to accomplish or achieve or do in your life. Not all of us have bucket lists or even have thought that far. At times I think about, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to be known for? And sometimes, you know, we just have to step back and give ourselves or allow ourselves to think about that. Another question I hadn't thought about, but I have thought about, is what are you passionate about? So if somebody did say, well, I remember so-and-so, and, you know, she was all about X, you know, that kind of, you're leaving your mark, you're leaving your legacy. I would like for you to also look at this as from what is your bucket list, not from a retirement standpoint, but just your aspirational, what do you want to accomplish while you're here on earth. And then another way to look at this is what do I want to be when I grow up? And sometimes we have to step back and think about how we answered that question years ago to even get ourselves starting about, well, okay, let's look at today and what dreams or goals do I have in front of me? So the next two, values and interests, with respect to values, which is on the information on the left-hand side, what's important to you? I think we take this for granted, and I really do look at values as our framework for how we see things, how we behave, how we act, how we make decisions. I had a discussion with one person, again, many years ago, and I said, well, what's important to you? What do you value in the work setting? What do you value? And he said to me, well, at work I value blah, blah, blah. And for at home, however, I value this and this. And I said, well, why are you separating the two? Don't you think that what you value is what's important to you no matter whether it's work or outside of work? And so it was kind of an interesting aha for me is that some people look at this particular self-assessment consideration as something that has to be different between work and or outside of work. And I think if you think about it, especially if you're not, if you're current, what you're doing now, there's something that you're just ready to make a change or something's occurred that's really challenged you to step back and think about what is important to you and what you value, my sense is that something's going on at work or outside of work that is really kind of disrupting or eating away at that this particular framework. So this is something that I think we should all be able to say, especially because it does help us with how we make decisions and how we interact with people, especially in the workplace. Then as far as the third consideration is to look at your interests. And interest can be defined as how you like to spend your time, you know, and you say, well, what do you mean? I go to work. But think about what hobbies you do, you know, possibly things outside of work. Do you volunteer? Do you garden? Do you exercise? Are there a particular talent that you have that you make things? And is there anything you wish you had more time to do? And so if you can't even think about that, then you might step away and say, okay, well, how do I like to relax? How do I like to get re-energized or energized in order to go on with the routine aspects of the day? So definitely these are two other considerations to think of. And then boundaries. Typically I refer to this as limitations, but I know that seems so negative. But just like your values provide your framework for how you act, how you behave, how you make decisions, your boundaries or responsibilities and really do provide some, I guess, limitations to what you think about doing next. Now, if you are taking care of your aging parents and you still have kids at home and you have a car that's about to break down, traveling the world may not be what you choose to do next, just because of those limitations or those boundaries. So you can think of boundaries with respect to, you know, what are my priorities, what do I need to make sure I do, especially if you're thinking about changing a job and looking at salary and benefits, and also where the job is actually located. If you have car payments, mortgage payments, kids to college tuitions, whatever the situation might be financially, you know you're going to have to make X amount of money in order to make sure you cover those responsibilities. Okay. And with skills, as far as the last consideration, I think this is where we sell ourselves short. But the way to look at this is, because you could say, I don't know what I'm good at, but what do you know how to do? And there are tons of lists of skills that you could, you know, if you're a type of paper and pencil type of person, make a list or circle what you know how to do, those kinds of activities. And then step back and say, okay, well, what do I think I'm really good at? And this is maybe an opportunity where you ask other people their input on what they think you're good at. And then the third, especially if you're looking to change and transition into something that might be slightly different, it's not the same type of job in it, but with a different company or organization, is what do you enjoy doing? You know, as we move along in our work career or in our career, we get to the point where we have the opportunity to say, you know what, I really want to spend my time doing what I enjoy doing. I know not everything is that way. But you know, you can say, you have every right to say, what do I enjoy doing? And then the last question to ask yourself is, what do you want to keep doing? And for those of us that, or for the and you that may be thinking about doing your own thing, meaning starting your own company or going to work for a nonprofit or, you know, changing industries and the type of work completely, is going through these kinds of questions with respect to your skills will help you identify, well, what are the transferable skills that I have that can easily be used in another industry, another sector, in another type of job. Okay. So, you know, so the self-assessment piece, like I said, is ongoing. It's not anything that's episodic. It's one of those things that you'll always continue to massage or mold or add on to and continue to evaluate. But I wanted to transition or give you some thoughts on a couple other things. I love this quote, and my sense is some of you probably seen this or read it. It's not what you look at, but what you see, by Thoreau. And that's another lens, another way in which to look at what situation or what's the opportunity or opportunities in front of you or the decisions that you need to make, and to look beyond what they are face value. So what is it that you see? So I'll give you an example of that. How many years ago? 4.5, maybe 5 years ago, our particular school within the university was having a lot of discussion about reorganization, strategic planning, making sure we still stayed relevant, that kind of thing. And at the same time, we had a dean change. So that conversation still happened, but our current dean started to pick up the pace on that. And it got to the point where we had some school-wide discussions and brainstorming and focus groups and all that. And it became very apparent that the school was starting to identify, so how are we going to structure ourselves? And is it going to look different than how we looked at that point in time? Well, because of my HR background and because I wasn't necessarily doing HR, I was doing more program development at that point in time, you know, I stepped back from what I was doing just mentally, not physically, and just said, you know, I know how to do the HR-related stuff with respect to this, so why don't I just offer that I'll volunteer, you know, I'll add something else on my plate. And so what I did at that time is, if you look at this quote, is I looked at what was going on, but I saw also beyond that, you know, possibly I should step up and offer my services, because I do get energy from, believe it or not, HR-related things. We all get energy from a variety of types of work. And I felt that I could fit it in with what I was managing at that point in time. And ultimately, as the reorganization was going on, I ended up serving as the first director of human resources for the school. But the seeing part is to see that there's an opportunity out there by offering assistance and not just waiting for somebody to come tell me, could you do this, or I need you to do that, that kind of thing. So hopefully that's a decent enough example for, you know, why I love this quote. But as you go through all this, one of the things that's very apparent is that change is hard. And making any kind of decision and acting on it is hard. And especially, you know, change is really becoming more of the landscape. I mean, every day is change. Even sitting here in front of you doing, you know, this webinar is change. You participating or listening is change. So what I'd like for you to spend some time thinking about, not necessarily right now, but, you know, think of some of the changes you've made in the last 3 years. They don't have to be monumental. I gave you an example of change with respect to what I was doing here at UVA's SCPS. But I can tell you a few others. So right now I'm sitting down, which is very rare. 2 years ago, the last time I did a forum, I was standing up. And so, if you were on that one, you probably saw me rock back and forth because I was standing. But the reason why I'm sitting is because I'm going to use the word blew out my knee several weeks ago, and I'm waiting to see a surgeon. So I had to alter what I'm doing. To me, that's change, because one thing I have found is that I can't get up and go up and down the stairs in this building. We don't have an elevator. And so the way in which I do my work, and since I'm not standing and I have to sit and elevate the leg, blah, 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 that's really changing how I approach each day and how I'm approaching my work at this point in time. In the big scheme of things, this is minor, but it is a change. It's something that hopefully whatever the meeting with the surgeon will be, I'll be able to get back to the way I was moving around before, but that is a change for a period of time. So when you're thinking about the changes you've made and I just put 3 years, because some of us may not necessarily classify little changes or decisions you had to make as change. And then how did each one come about? Because that's the other thing that you need to think about is when something occurs, I have to make a decision or choose to do and act and do something differently, what are kind of the elements with respect to that particular situation or issue or decision I had to make? And you know, how did I act? How did I behave? How long did it take me to make a decision or act on it? And you'll start to see some common themes about how you make decisions and how you react to anything that causes you to do something differently. And then also step back and think, you know, what's the benefit, ultimate benefit or payout of the change? So, you know, why did I do it? Why did I make the decision? Why did I make that career change? Whatever the situation or scenario or issue may be. Because you'll come to realize that we're making changes all the time and we're always thinking about, so based on my actions, what I'm going to get, what's the ultimate payout? Okay? Because most of the time, my sense is we're not just, at this point in our life, we're not making decisions and acting on things and changing for no benefit. So, what can a career change look like? It can be planned or controlled somewhat. For those of us that may like to make sure that things are somewhat controlled, not everything fits in a box and can be of our control, which is ultimately the reason why there are things such as trigger events that exist. So I kind of made a list of some examples of controlled or somewhat planned events. Retirement can be one of them. A move, especially if your job or your spouse's job, or for some, you know, moving for closer to family, whatever the situation or priority might be. Empty nest, so as kids get ready to go to college or graduate from college and hopefully don't come back home, but move on away from your initial responsibility. I have talked to parents who they started thinking about what they want to do when their kids get in kindergarten. So the fact that that's becoming more of a reality, and it's not just when kids are out of the house, it's more about even when they're out of the house but in school, it's still ultimately under the responsibility. They want to upgrade their skills so they can get back or start their career. Sometimes just renewal. You know, if you're running out of energy, don't like what you're doing anymore and realize you want to be doing something else, you know, making that change is very, you can control that. You can be very intentional about how that goes about. Budget cuts, mergers and acquisitions, health, family, you know, all these are good examples of something that can be planned or somewhat controlled. But on the flip side, some of these items could also be trigger events because you weren't, and they become trigger events when they're first introduced to you. So, for example, a budget shortfall. You know, when within Virginia, the governor announced, I don't know how many weeks, I guess it was last week, you know, that the state's going to have a budget shortfall of, I don't remember how many millions. Some of you may remember that. So, you know, reading that or hearing that, I did the translation, okay, so how is this going to impact UVA, and then how is this going to impact our school? And those conversations are playing out, but ultimately we're going to have to manage and plan for budget cuts. And does that mean not filling positions? Does that mean, you know, eliminating positions? Does that mean no longer doing certain things? Those all impact and create change. Same thing with mergers and acquisitions. They can initially seem like a trigger event based on how much you knew about it. But then, you know, they become planned or somewhat controlled as you do your due diligence, hopefully, and move through that and figure out where you fit with all of that. Again, health, family, an accident, I mean, for the most part, an accident is a trigger event. And on the positive side, you know, a job offer you weren't expecting. So just to get you thinking about, you know, especially if you, you know, didn't necessarily have one of these items staring at you at this point in time, some of these things can create our need to start thinking about making a change. So if change is constant and it's more about the decision-making process, then how can we be intentional about the decisions we make that influence our career change or transition? And I think, you know, this all has to do with, again, getting back to the self-assessment, how you make look at yourself, how you think of yourself in terms of what you can do, what's important to you, how you like to spend your time, what do you need to make sure as far as responsibilities you pay attention to, Then what do you need to do next? So what I'd like to share with you is a couple of ideas and give you some tools to take away with that hopefully these will be helpful to you. So I don't know how many of you, my assumption is a lot of you have heard about John Cotter, who a lot of his work is on organizational change and managing change within organizations. And two books, Leading Change and My Iceberg is Melting, and actually I should have brought them over just to show you the book cover if you haven't seen it, but My Iceberg is Melting is the fable or the story that he's created out of the eight elements of leading change, which is what leading change is about. There were five of the eight of his process recommendations that I think that are somewhat applicable to our own individual career change or transition. And some of you may think, well, that's a stretch. But if you just look at the words, these do make sense. So first of all, when we're thinking about making a change or are faced with making a change, that establishing a sense of urgency. And, you know, why is this important? So I think a lot of times we drag our feet. A lot of that dragging the feet is because your fear, you know, the fear of change, the fear of making a decision because you're not quite sure what the risk will generate. So what's going to happen if I decide to do this? The other thing is it helps you with timeline and just moving through the decisions or the things that you need to do in order to act on that change. Another element of his recommendations, I think creating a guiding coalition. I think a lot of times we have a tendency to think that we're all alone when we're making these decisions or thinking about making career changes or transitions. And the guiding coalition really is thinking about your social network. Who else needs to be part of this conversation and provide support, whether it be, you know, family members, your spouse, your friends, your parents, whatever the, you know, whoever your fan base and support base looks like. Because a lot of times talking about it and getting other perspectives does help. And talking about it and getting the support of others will help you move along with that sense of urgency and not feel like you're all alone. Another element is to definitely think about developing a vision and strategy. With respect to that is, you know, where are you going? What is the decision or the change that you want to make and the direction that you are thinking about heading in and why? So again, getting back to your self-assessment as far as your responsibilities and what's important to you, those boundaries that you kind of, and the framework that you create will help you develop this vision and strategy. And obviously communicating the change vision, and that gets back to creating the guiding coalition. I mean, you're going to be communicating what it is that you're looking to do. You never know. Somebody may have an idea or somebody may have had an experience and said, well, I've done that. And let me share with you who you can talk to or what you can do. And then obviously in the spirit of trying to get through and move through all of this and not drag your feet is generate short-term wins. I mean, and this is all very fundamental, but I think framing it with respect to how we make changes in our career or transitioning our career, it hopefully provides some process for you with respect to that. So I'm assuming most of you have seen this quote or heard this quote, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And, you know, when you first look at it, you're like, yeah, right. But if you start thinking about it, when you say, boy, she's lucky, he's lucky, I'm lucky, what happened to get to that point where that person is lucky? So we can use this with respect to our career change and transition. And so how can you prepare to be lucky in order to be able to take advantage of opportunities in front of you? First is evaluate or assess your change or decision you need to make. You know, do you need to revisit the self-assessment considerations that I shared at the beginning of our session? Do you need to look at your current situation's pros and cons, and, you know, especially if it's you have a job offer in front of you? And you're figuring out whether you take it or not. keeping a journal helps, especially if you're not quite ready to vocalize and share what you're thinking about, what you're trying to grapple with. I think to keep in a journal is, and even just writing, even if it's 5 minutes a day, it's amazing how much you can put on a piece of paper in 5 minutes. And it's also amazing how much space you can free up in your brain by doing that and just putting down your thoughts. And for those of you that do write in a journal, you know what this means. It just alleviates some stress by just jotting down some initial thoughts or questions or your feelings of frustrations, whatever this is, whatever's going on right there. And then also revisit why you need to or want to make this change. Some of it, again, might be a trigger event or might be forced because of change. Or it could be your gut telling you, I have no energy, no interest in doing what I'm doing anymore. I need to do something different, which, AKA burnout, which I'm sure a lot of you have experienced at one point. Step two, identify additional information that you need. So again, this gets back to, creating your guiding coalition. Is who do you need to talk to or bounce this off of? Some of you may have a good relationship with your supervisor, especially if they're supportive of your career development and professional development within your organization. And they may have good guidance. They may be able to connect you with a potential opportunity that's out there, meaning that they have no ego involved because they're all about making sure that you're as successful as they are themselves. Some of you may have a mentor or your organization may have the employee assistance program, so you may reach out because that's free, typically free and very confidential opportunity to kind of talk with somebody who may not know anything or any of the players involved, so it makes it easier for you to share all, so to speak. Some of you may have an executive coach, or you may have a good friend or friends or spouse that actually will spend the time to listen to you, not pass any judgment, and not try to solve it for you. And that's really what this is about in terms of that whole talking and thinking out loud opportunity. There might be books or websites that you need to read or visit that support you gathering more information about the direction or what you're exploring and wanting to do. And then another question to ask yourself is, do you have all the details in order to make this decision or change? Sometimes by just asking that question will give you the list of things that you need to find out more about in order to be able to talk to somebody or go read a book or visit a website. And then also the details of that particular opportunity from this aspect, especially if it's a job, what's the work culture like, what's the work setting like in terms of the environment, the physical layout, what are the elements of the opportunity, such as benefits, travels, work expectations, how are decisions made in an organization, how are problems solved. I think those are two pieces that we don't, or two questions or two elements that we don't ask ourselves when we're changing jobs. And that tells a whole lot about work setting, culture, as well as how communication flows through an organization. So then the third step I'd like to share with you is determine or create your timeline. So again, this is where you can create those short-term wins or goals. Include target dates to keep you on track. Have plan B, follow up just in case I miss this deadline or somebody doesn't get back to me. You will have a fallback. So, and then lastly is definitely be flexible. I mean, not everyone is on your timeline, and I think this is what's important, especially for those type A's or those of us that need to maybe control the pace of our progress a little bit more. Just remember that not everybody, A, knows this is going on or this is what you're thinking, and B, even if they did, there's stuff that they're working on or dealing with or whatever. And then also to add to that is figure out the best way to communicate with people within this timeline, because as we are all finding out that not everybody responds to email, not everybody texts, but more people respond to text than they do, and more immediately than they do email. This is what I'm finding, and I think this is, it might be an age thing, but I'm not sure. Some people are more responsive by phone, but not everybody responds to phone or has their voicemail set up. Like my niece, who doesn't have her voicemail set up. She only responds by text. Anyway, so I think a great way to sum this up is, you know, think back at the title of this particular forum is, you know, how to successfully manage your career change or transition. The successful piece is really more about your ability to move progress through, you know, to progress through what the change is that you're about to, that's unfolding for you. So I'm sorry, I looked at a question and then I started thinking of the answer as I was talking, which is not a good thing to do. You know, success, this is where, you know, I'm not telling you how to be successful. The success, I'm hopefully giving you a framework. Success is really going to be based on how you manage the decision making around the career change or transition that you're trying to make. So somebody just asked examples of short-term wins or goals, and I'll certainly do that. So let me think of, I'll give you an example. A couple of people that I worked with that are no longer working, you know, the organization I'm at right now, they, let's say, former employee A, started to think about and had been thinking about for a while. She was kind of put in a position where she was a jack of all trades. I mean, she was very talented, was really developing project management skills, and but yet realizing since she was young in her career that the project management element, she needed to get more, build more structure around her complete understanding of project management and managing project teams. So she was working on that. So that was a short-term goal. But in the meantime, in the midst of her job, which was somewhat nebulous and really wasn't defined, and her position description didn't reflect what she was actually doing at that point in time, and she kept pushing the conversation of, can my position description be revisited, blah, blah, blah. As that was, you know, that battle she was dealing with was going on, she started looking outside of the school. She was looking to see, okay, I know I like project management. I'm strengthening that skill set. Where else could I use these skills? Whether it be within the university or elsewhere. And so while she was doing the internal discussion about can we change my position description, she was preparing herself for potential opportunities that use that skill set outside of our organization. So, you know, she created short-term wins as far as, you know, strengthening her skill set, but also exploring other opportunities in addition to what she was doing, you know, every day for her paid work. So that's one. Another one could definitely that a lot of people have is the going back to school while you're still working. And so it's thinking about, all right, if I go back to school, why am I doing that? And what would it be? And is it, oops, sorry, y'all. I'm going to lunch after this. And is it what I want to go to school for, does it connect with what I'm doing right now? And if not, okay, how am I going to manage this? And will I get my supervisor's buy-in? That kind of thing. So, you know, we do have a couple of people that are working on their degrees. One, their goal is to get their master's. All right? Doesn't really matter what the subject is in as far as they just know they need a master's in order to move up within the organization. But then a couple of people are getting their master's because it's in areas that they want to continue to work in, and it happens to be very much related to what they're doing right now. So the short-term goals with respect to going back to school was, okay, what school am I going to go to, or what program am I going to do? Do I need to take the GREs or GMATs or LSATs, whatever the situation might be, prepping for that, taking the exam, passing the exam. applying to the school, getting in, and then start chipping away at your coursework. So hopefully those are examples of short-term wins or goals. I mean, some of these situations could be broken down even further. But I'm happy to talk offline if you have a specific, if you want to think out loud as to how to break down whatever you're working towards into short-term achievements. So any other questions? I really do appreciate your time. And like I said, you know, we were going to aim for 30 to 45 minutes, and we've definitely hit that mark. So I was just trying to see. A lot of people ask, do we have the slides? And I did give the slides to Marianne, who was making them into a PDF and was going to link it to the webinar. So I think, Nancy, you asked if you could print the slide deck. My sense is you probably would be able to, because it will be a PDF file. So you wouldn't be able to, it'll just be in a PDF. So. Any other questions right now? Again, I hope this was helpful. I hope you were able to take away a nugget or two to apply to your current situation or something you've been thinking about. And for those of you that just didn't know where to start, hopefully this gives you a good sense of what to think about. And Marianne Ryan just asked us if the Career Center reviews resumes, if Alumni Career Services does.
Actually, I see another question coming in for you, Barbara.
Marianne, did you want to chime in?
I'm going to pop in for a moment.
Okay.
While questions are coming, I want to give you guys some chances to type in your questions. The Alumni Career Services does provide resume.
Okay.
For you, for UVA alums, members of the Alumni Association, check out our website for more information on that. And we are coming up on 1 o'clock. Barbara's going to stay around for more questions, but I thought, again, I'd pop in while you all are typing in your questions. I want to give a big thank you to Barbara for her very helpful webinar. We appreciate you sharing your insights with us, Barbara. I also want to let everyone know that our next Friday Forum will take place in 2 weeks on Friday, September 19th, when Laura Daltz returns to Friday Forum to talk about her journey to become a successful entrepreneur. And again, we're going to get back to Barbara for more questions, but I want to thank everyone for spending their time with us today. As always, and we've talked about this, we've been recording today's webinar, and everyone who registered will receive a link to the webinar recording in an email later today. And that email will also include a link to Barbara's slides. And please remember to complete the Friday Forum survey also. So now back to Barbara for more questions.
Okay, one thing I did forget, a great resource for those of you that are still on and if this is being still recorded, is looking back at the previous forums that have gone on through, been offered through Alumni Career Services. I mean, a lot of unique topics. And so somebody had asked the question about transitioning from one industry to another. Actually, the session that I did 2 years ago focused on transferable skills. And that would be a great way for us to get started on that conversation is, you know, what are those skills that can easily be transitioned or transferable from no matter what the sector or industry. So Erica asks, other than looking through job listings, are there any sources of inspiration for trying to define what new jobs you want? Absolutely, because I do mention this in the transferable skills session, that it's not about looking at job titles. So I think one way to step back and say is and look at kind of especially if you're staying in one place. So let's say if you, wherever you live, Erica, you know, you're not moving. So one way is to step back and look at, okay, well, what's the economic activity with respect to that region? And so what are the businesses or organizations or industries that are within those economic drivers? And do some of them cross sectors, which my sense is that definitely will exist. And then the other piece to lay on top of that is, okay, because, you know, we have companies that have web presences, web presence everywhere, you know, what are some potential organizations or companies that, you know, their business is through the web that you could be located where you are now, but who you're working for is somewhere else. So I think for inspiration, I would first start with, okay, what's driving your area's economy, especially if you're not moving, and then what industries represent each of those drivers. But that's just a start. Another place to look is sometimes websites that have multiple lists, multiple organizations listed or companies listed. So your area chamber, you know, their membership list, a lot of times it's lit up there. You know, you can see it even if you're not a chamber member, and it have links to those particular organizations' websites. Some of its councils, so for example, our area has a, not technology council anymore, but it's, I forgot the name of it. But anyway, CBIC is the short version. That's a good place. If there's an area or regional economic development partnership, that's another good website to look at. Also, any kind of coordinating nonprofit organizations. So like United Way sometimes is a convener of nonprofits in the community. I know here in Charlottesville area, we have the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, which you look on their website, they list job postings, they link you to a variety of opportunities, whether paid or volunteered. Sometimes that can trigger the inspiration. So hopefully that helps you somewhat, Erica, on that. I think there was another question. My contact information, Shirley, the way we did this, because somebody else reached out to Marianne and asked if, you know, that her husband knows me, so, you know, Marianne forwarded it to me. What I think that's probably the easiest way to do is if you want to connect with me, just reach out to Marianne and then she'll forward your email to me and then we can start that conversation that way. I think I got the questions up to that point.
There's one, Barbara, if you scroll down a little bit more, from Julia T.
Yeah, so what do I do if I've been promoted in a quite specific marketing area and any career change would require me to start from the bottom? How do you recommend having to step down a salary position to start a new field? My initial reaction, Julia, would be to ask you a bunch of questions. Are you ready to do this? Can you financially afford to do that? What kind of, how much of a step down or starting from the bottom would that, what would that look like? And probably I would lean more towards, you know, financially. And if it's the type of job that you're currently doing that requires you to travel, requires you to, be basically working 24/7, and so the value for you would be if you got half of your life back, meaning that you could have some downtime, you could do things that you enjoyed, and that you didn't have to travel, then the benefit of that would outweigh the salary that you would be getting. So that, you know, I think the first thing is to think about is how much do you need to make in order to take care of your responsibilities that you have right now. And then the second thing would be what kind of new field are you thinking about? And are we looking more about using the skills that you're currently using in your in the marketing specific area that could be transferable into other industries? Or is it something that you want to learn something completely new? And so what would be involved with that? So at this point in time, I would have more questions. But I think those are the kinds of things that you need to ask yourself and give yourself answers to before you start, as you explore towards making that career change. And my sense is that Emily can help you work with through that as well, too. Hopefully that's helpful. How do I access previous webinars?
Yeah,
Marianne, do you want to kind of give the answer about to Kathleen's about how to get it? Are you good, Tyda? Sorry. Got to keep going. Oh, good. Okay, thanks. And Kathleen, too, if you want to, Julia, if you want to talk offline, we can do that as well. Is there contact information available for Marianne? Oh, Marianne, fan base. So, Marianne, we should just go to the website as well? We think you go to the website?
No, you're doing just fine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm moving too slow. Okay, I see that. Okay, that was before Vic. After Vicki, there was somebody else. Okay. Who left the workplace for many years and now looking to return. My sense, Marianne, is you answered that. How much value do you put on personal assessments or discovery profiles? Do you recommend using them? Great question, Seth. Notice how I didn't refer to any. For some people who just have no idea where to start, I think personal assessments or discovery profiles add a lot of value. And so now I'm about to share with you one, but they're not the answer. Okay, they're not going to give you the complete answer. And this is one of my, not pet peeves, but it's one of my personal beliefs, is that, you know, these are tools to help you figure out what to do next or what is next or possible career fields. Because I think the fascinating thing about today, and one could say this even within the last decade or so, what opportunities and industries that exist now didn't exist 10 years ago. I mean, a lot of them did, but in terms of what they're titled, what the job skills, et cetera. So, and the discovery profiles and personal assessments may box you in somewhat because they're not projecting into the future. So, you know, I would say you use those. If you need to get started, I would say those are great tools and assessments to use to get started. But you really need to kind of use that information and say, okay, what is it telling me? What are some themes or trends that am I seeing? Especially if some of the assessments or profiles list types of jobs or areas of study or fields. It says, okay, what's unique about each one of those or what's the same thing about each one of those that really is more about the skill or what I would be doing? Part of on the transferable skills discussion about is not just about the job title, is because I think, you know, that's old school. And even when you're doing your resume, you know, office manager, unless you really describe as far as what you accomplished and what value you brought to the organization, the office manager in some scenarios could be you answer the phone and open the mail. You know, you were the greeter. And others is you were basically that satellite office linked to the owner who was located somewhere else. And so your responsibility and scope of work was way greater than what the office manager really means. So I'm a fan of them, but I just a caution that they're not going to be the crystal ball. Are you potential salary cut? How do you persuade potential employers that you're willing to accept? Oh gosh, that's tough. That's great. A great question. And I think that's the hardest thing because you don't know the people that are reviewing your application or your resume or your cover letter or whatever, however you were to apply for that job. And some people jump and make assumptions. But I do, you know, and I do know from a lot of employers that are federal contractors, we really initially need to look at the required skills or requirements of the position and what we're looking for, and does an applicant meet those requirements? Pay is not part of that. But you also have the opportunity, especially if you know somebody that works at that potential, at that organization where you're looking at, that might be the situation. If you can figure out a way to get connected with the person that's making the decisions or in HR and try to, you know, get a time to have an informational interview or wanting to ask more questions about the opportunity, and just try to make that sales pitch about, you know, why you're willing to and you're interested in this opportunity, regardless of the salary. then the other thing is, if you, even if you didn't know anybody, there's nothing wrong with reaching out and asking to learn more about the opportunity, and again, kind of establishing that relationship. But I think the loose canon on this is that not everybody's going to react the same to your inquiries or your requests or your pitch or promotion of self, that it's not about the salary, it's more about the opportunity. And so sometimes, you know, also thinking about what you put in your cover letter to kind of get that message across, maybe the thing that says, you know what, this person has all the skill sets that we're looking for. Yeah, they used to make twice as much as what we can offer. I still want to talk to this person. So, you know, if career services, alumni career services can help with that kind of information as far as presenting
yourself. I'll just
pop it
up. We're after 1 o'clock, and
Mary,
I know we can probably stay all afternoon.
Oh,
you all could have lots of questions of Barbara, but I thought we were going to wrap things up now. And I want to thank you again from Alumni Career Services here at UVA's Alumni Association. Please join us again in 2 weeks for our next Friday forum, and have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, Barbara.
Great. Well, and Jake, I just typed yes to your question about assessment, but I didn't type anything to the other question. Sorry.